Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
This morning, living for eternity, having inheritance in a real city. What I am hoping to do this morning, I guess we'll see if it actually lands or not, what I'm hoping to do this morning is to talk about the inheritance that awaits us as a way to help us make sense of this life. If all that exists, if all that there really is this life, and when you die and just get eaten by worms, and that's really it, that's all there is to it, then why not live for this life? Why not live for this age? Why not live for the almighty dollar? But if there is, in fact, an eternity awaiting us, and that our decisions and our actions and our engagement now makes a difference and it matters in the age to come, I think maybe one of the ways that we can make sense of, one of the ways we can navigate the darkness that just keeps rising, the things that become more and more normal. I mean, the number of shootings in America is just unbelievable. The mass shootings, it's unfathomable to think about the impact that that's having on life and kids feeling safe at school and parents feeling unsafe to send their kids to school. That's one category of 100 categories that is just so different and escalating in pain and in trial. I'm like, we need to figure out a way to navigate all this, because unfortunately, we can't just make all the bad things go away. I really wish we could flip that switch. But there's this thing called sin nature, and our country is really, really good at feeding sin nature. It is unfortunate how much attention America is giving to fueling sinfulness, fueling the sin nature. So it's just rising around us. How do we make sense of life? How do we keep going? How do we deal with the pressures and make sense of a Tuesday? Like, how do we go into work, go into, you know, our various patterns in school and life, and how do we handle all that? Well, it's going to take some perspective. And I think that one of the things that this series can do for us is help us with that perspective. And so what I'm hoping today is, by talking about our eternal inheritance, we can look up and help make sense of having a right heart in certain situations, responding rightly in certain situations, that we can think to our inheritance and not only to the temporal discomforts and things that make us so angry and all the stuff that's going on around us. So that's my hope here. So we're talking about eternal inheritance. And that word inheritance, you really want to, you know, in order to get a picture of what we're talking about eternally, you want to get your head around what it means in the temporal, what it means, you know, now. So just think about, you know, the mom. She could be the single mom that works all her life, and she has saved up as much as she can so that she's got something to pass on to her kids. And maybe what she's able to pass on is the vehicle that she had. Maybe what she's got to pass on is, you know, a little bit of money that was stowed away in an account. Whatever it is, whether it's that situation or it's somebody that's got a little bit more means than that, the idea of an inheritance is that it was something that you receive after there's a passing, after someone passes away, after someone, you know, transitions from the earth. And then we receive whatever that that inheritance is. Well, the way that we're talking about this eternal inheritance, it's not somebody else passing, it's you. It's when you die. It's when you graduate and get to be with the Lord, whether that's because of his second coming, which I believe there's a bunch of us on the planet right now that are going to see Jesus appear in the sky, whether it's because Jesus returns or because you perish in some way, you pass on to the next life, and then you enter into the season, the moment of receiving an inheritance. But what's interesting about this inheritance, it's different than the one that you get from the situation I was just describing from your mama. This one, it's not your mom working, it's you working. This inheritance is stored up for you by you. This one is not passed on to you by a relative. This one is the generous God watching your life and seeing how you responded to him during the short minute you got to be alive on planet Earth, and storing up an inheritance according to your decisions, which means the inheritance could be big, the inheritance could be small. You know, in the situation related to the single mom, you can't help who your mom and dad are, and you can't help how rich or not rich they are. You have no control over that. So So however big the inheritance is that's coming your way because of, you know, your parents or relatives or grandparents or whoever else, or maybe there's not even an inheritance, you can't control that, but you can control yours in eternity. You are 100% in control of that one. And that's actually pretty powerful because we don't want to put our hope in, well, when, you know, my great-grandfather passes, you know, I'll get $1,000. We don't want to be putting our hope in the temporal inheritance, but we absolutely want to give attention to our eternal one, of which the entirety of what gets stowed up, what gets stored, is on you. That's kind of an interesting perspective. And I think about that, and I'm like, man, I like the idea. For me, it's a really cool idea that someone, when they pass on, I'd get free money somehow. I just think that's the coolest idea. I'm just like, what did I do for that? I did nothing. And they left some stuff, and now I get some stuff? That's just, like, cool. It's like winning the lottery, like the small lottery, maybe. Like, that's, I just like that idea. The idea of an eternal version that can be way, way bigger, and the one giving it isn't a stingy, you know, far-off, you know, three-removed uncle. The person giving it is God in generosity, who cannot wait, who's looking for excuses to give me a stupid overage on return on my investments. He just can't wait to see the little movements of my heart, the little right decisions, the little choices. He just can't wait and go, oh, that's worth $1 billion. It's like, I said hi to someone that I didn't like. That's great, it's $1 billion. Man, this is cool. I can live like this. The idea of an inheritance that will be there forever, that I'll get to experience forever, that is incredible. I like that idea. This is a fun way to live. I mean, I try to think this way. As not as much as I want to. I'm part of the reason I'm doing this series is to preach myself happy so that I can get even more entrenched in this thought process. But think about that for just a second. Just kind of go with me. Pretend that you had a rich uncle, okay? And a rich uncle said, every time you're nice, every time you forgive your enemies, every time you have a good attitude when you really feel like having a bad attitude. Now, you don't get any points when you have a good attitude when you feel like having a good attitude. But every time you have a good attitude when you feel like having a bad attitude, I'm going to give you $10,000. And I'm going to put it in an account. And when you reach age 65, I'm just going to give you whatever's in the account. And somehow he's able to keep an account of your life. And every time, you know, you're at the, somebody cuts you off in traffic, and instead of yelling at them, because they don't hear it, you do know that, right? They'd never hear you yelling. Except that one time. Man, that was a bad moment. So anyway, they don't hear you yelling. But instead of you yelling at them, you pray, God, help them. They're probably like really in a hurry. Help them get where they're supposed to go. Instead of responding out of the flesh, you respond in kindness. Somebody is just, they are totally annoying to you. They are the most annoying person in the world. And you decide in your interactions, I am going to treat them as a best friend. I'm going to treat them with incredible honor, dignity, and kindness. Though I don't feel like it, I feel like punching them in the nose. But I will not punch them in the nose. I will not even make the face of I wish I was punching you in the nose. I'll be careful with my face. I'll be careful with my fist. And I will say words to them that are blessing and honoring and kind. And the rich uncle's like, that's another $10,000. You'll get it when you're 65. That's another $10,000. This would be a really fun way to live. I mean, this would be like, how rich am I going to be at 65? Like, I am banking on it. I'm thinking about every month. I'm going out of my way. I am making up excuses to be nice, to be generous, to be kind, to respond according to the gospel, to use the fruit of the Spirit. I am, like, looking for opportunities because I'm like, if I can just do about 100 of those a day, oh, man, I'm going to be so rich when time comes. I'm bad at math, but some of you know what those numbers are. Times however many years you got it. It's a lot of money is the deal. I'm sure of that, okay? And you're thinking about it. Guys, it's really like that, only way better, because you know when you get to 65, you're going to spend all that money. You're going to buy some big, crazy, dumb thing. You're going to invest a little bit, and it's gone. And then you're going to die, and you're going to hand off all that money to some bratty kid that didn't even work for it anyway. You know, you're going to pass that inheritance on. It's temporal, but the reality is true from an eternal perspective, that what you do now is going to amass an inheritance for you forever. It never goes away. It what? It's bigger, it's better, it's richer, it's far more plush, and it lasts forever, and it's real, and you can really have the same crazy, giddy kid attitude of, I'm going to get 100 of them a day. You can do the same thing. You'll actually be way happier if you did that than even if you got the 10,000 a day or, you know, 10,000 per whatever. You would be way better off, and you will thank yourself. Future you is beckoning past you. Beckoning. Oh, do the dumb plan Brad just came up with. Do it. Take it seriously. Get 100 of those moments a day where you're investing into the kingdom. You're forgiving your enemies. There's 1,000 ways to get eternal rewards. There's so many ways in the Word of God. Start to go on the journey of figuring out what it is. It breaks down to obedience and generosity, really. Generosity in spirit, in words, in money, and then obedience. That's really what it breaks down to. But if you live that way, God will richly reward you, and you will have an inheritance awaiting for you that you will have forever. I like that. That to me is motivating, because I'm like, so it doesn't matter if today it's sunshine or tornado, I've still got the same opportunities? Exactly. In fact, potentially more opportunities on tornado day, because there's a lot of people in a bad mood. Honestly, this is just, it's the kindness of the Lord. Hear me on this. As the pressures increase and society gets angrier and dumber and more sinful, the opportunity for the church actually increases, because we've got more opportunities we didn't have to go looking for to be able to say the right thing, do the right thing, respond the right way. So actually, fair weather, you got to go looking for opportunities more. But when the storm is all around you, you are filled with opportunities to be light. And every time you're light, there's reward for it. I want you to think about that, because it's a motivator. And it's part of the reason that Jesus gave us the information was to motivate us so that we would actually see our days differently and see that person, that situation, that fight for my rights or lay them down, all those moments as opportunities to have an interaction with heaven and there be a real return on investment. I mean, as the days get tougher, we're going to need this. We're going to need to understand this and operate in it, not having barely heard the conversation or the idea, but to be living in it on a daily basis when the people that we know and love are acting the fool, when the culture around us is being totally cruel, unkind, and has lost its mind. I just feel like today's just going to be tangent morning. I'm sorry. I was having a dialogue with the Lord, and it was a great little follow-up conversation with Luke Cooper about this. But the Word talks about, in relationship to unnatural sexual relations, says that I think it's Romans, might be Hebrews, says that the Lord, that's Romans, Romans 1, says that the Lord gave them over to a depraved mind. But he didn't start there. It started with willful disobedience, doing something that's not right, continue to doing it, loving it, falling totally in love with the wrong thing, to a point where the Lord said, Paul is giving commentary, he says, and the Lord gave them over to a depraved mind. I just want to give you the difference between a sober mind and a depraved mind. Both of them are minds and are thinking, okay? And when they think, they're making conclusions of 1 + 1 = 2. A pure mind, a sober mind, has actual math correct. A depraved mind is still doing math, but it's wrong calculations. It's according to a wrong standard. So they're fully convinced. Both the sober mind and the depraved mind are fully convinced of their truth. Fully convinced. But the one that's operating in a depraved mind has been given over to it. And I started thinking about it. I was like, oh my gosh, the more that this culture gives in to sin and anger and unforgiveness and resentment and accusation. You know, remember, accusation is the language of Satan. That's his native tongue. He is the accuser of the brethren. The more that our culture gives over to those things, the more the Lord is giving our culture over to a depraved mind. I hear it so many times now. I'll hear people talking, and they'll say things, and they're fully convinced of them, and I'm like, that is total unreality, and they're completely convinced it's true. They're saying 2 + 2 = 97. And I'm like, no. And they're like, isn't it? And then they go, yes, 97. And they're all surrounding each other going, 2 plus 2 is 97. I'm like, where did you grow up? What are you, no. What are you talking about? Our culture is increasingly given over to a depraved mind. It's not that they're just deceived. It's that their mind is actually still operating, but it's operating according to a different baseline, a different plumb line, a different system. And I'm just like, it's going to be increasingly more impossible to make sense to people. We're going to hold up the standard of truth and go, this is truth. And they're going to go, no, it's not. This is truth. Like, that's not, no, no. We are going to need each other in relationship. We are going to need the Word of God as our plumb line. As soon as you deviate from the Word of God, now anything can be true. Anything. I mean, as soon as the Word of God is no longer the standard. No, that's not true because the Bible says. Well, we don't believe in the Bible. As soon as that happens, whether it's an individual that goes to church or an individual in the lost world around us, in either case, as soon as you leave the plumb line of the Bible, now what is truth? It's relative to whatever you think or feel or the culture or the trends of the day or the weather. It's like, what's true today? No, truth isn't, doesn't float. Truth doesn't change. Truth is the standard forever. And there's only one person who gets to define truth, and it's God. And when we leave God's truth and start to invent other versions, there is no end to the insanity. And I just want to tell you, America has committed to insanity. America's like, we cannot wait to run as hard and as fast as we can off the cliff. We love sin. We promote sin. We're all about sin. And it's only going to continue to snowball. And here we are trying to figure out how to live a godly life and try to, you know, raise families and have relationships and navigate all the things. Our lives are going to get increasingly more complicated. I just want to warn us. I just want to give us the little pastoral heads up here. Your lives are going to become increasingly more complicated and difficult. Solution is to hold to the truth of the Word of God, no matter how it makes you feel or how angry it makes your mom. And I just want to tell you, the Bible is going to make some of y'all's moms mad. The Bible makes me mad. I read stuff and I'm like, I don't like that. And the Lord's like, I didn't ask you. I'm like, well, okay then. As long as we know who's in charge. It's really, really important. So we're doing this series on living for eternity. Part of this is like your buoy. It's your life raft. Part of this is the way you're going to make it through the next decade. Because you're going to be living for another age instead of living like the rest of the lost world around us, for the moment, for carnal desires, for gratification, for personal interest and investment. You're not living for that. You're living for another age. And if you'll have that perspective, you'll be fine. Because when bad things happen, you're like, well, I guess it's an opportunity to get a few more $10,000 checks. You're looking for opportunities to maximize on the problems and go, how do I be more light when it's darker? The darker it is, the lighter the brightness is, or at least it's supposed to be. We've got incredible opportunity as this world goes to hell in a handbasket. All right, we have got opportunity. And so I want to equip you with that thought process. I haven't even gotten to the notes yet, but anyways, I better get started. Amen. Okay, all right. Ephesians 1:18. I want you to think about your inheritance. I want you to use the word glorious inheritance as you think about what awaits you in the age to come. I want you to think about your life right now. Listen, if I'm just gut honest, there's not a lot about my life that's glorious. I mean, there's a couple of things that are sweet, but I don't know that I would go too much and I go, it's glorious. How's your day today? It's glorious. How are your children? Have you met them? They are glory, glory, glory. That's not real. I like my kids and I like my day, but there's nothing about it that I would define as glorious. Your inheritance, however, is. And that's what you have to look forward to. It says this, pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. I want the eyes of your heart enlightened because I want you to understand something you don't understand yet. In order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. the riches of his glorious inheritance. I want you to have your eyes open to understand the hope of what you really are, who you really are, and what your future really holds. I want for you to have an understanding about the hope of your future, your glorious inheritance that he's going to give you. That's profound. That's that right there. If that's real, that's really good news. It's an everlasting inheritance. This is just the, I know we're used to these words. I just think sometimes we need to forget what we know in order to hear the word of God afresh. 1 Peter 1:3 says this, "In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." An inheritance that can never, that's the key word, never go away. It's eternal. Never perish, spoil, fade, never use up. So if by chance you wind up with a gold credit card when you go upstairs, that gold credit card never runs out of money. It never expends or it never depletes. The inheritance that you have, it never fades, perishes, or spoils. It is eternal. I really, really like the idea of riches and glory and awesome that I can't spend out the total of it. I just really love it. I remember being a kid, you know, getting a check, you know, on my birthday or whatever. And, you know, when you're like six, you get a $20 check or $20 bill or whatever. That's like $1 billion. And I remember like going to Walmart and like, I am going to spend all of this as fast as humanly possible. Like it was like, I don't even think I would make it to the toy aisle. I like had 32 sticks of gum right there at the little cash register on the way. I would never even make it back to the toys. Like I'm trying to spend this as fast as possible. I had the hole in my pocket. That thought process, but you've now got in eternity an inheritance that it doesn't matter how much you try. It doesn't matter how much time elapses. It's yours forever. But this inheritance is worked for. Not your salvation, that's free. You cannot work for your salvation. But after you're saved, your inheritance is by your merit. It's by your work. Look what this says, Philippians 3:8. "What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ." I'll give you also Matthew 16. It says, Jesus said this to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Both of these verses talk about the idea of, it's the path to that inheritance. The path is that we don't take our current life as our objective and our purpose. Instead, we consider everything we have as nothing. We'll lose all things for Jesus' sake. We will be the last in this life if we need to. We'll lose this life for his sake. Here's the thing. I think there's so much in just kind of American Christian culture that says, chase after everything you want. Spend all of your time and your energy and your emotion and your money. Spend it all on the stuff that you want in this life. And then go to church on Sunday. And like sort of kind of be a Christian a little. But really make your life all about you. Pursue all of your desires, all of your aspirations. You be the best you can be. You get everything you want in this life. And then sprinkle a little Jesus on it. Do you know how many people are going to show up before the pearly gates? They're going to be there in heaven. And the Lord is going to go, I love you. You wasted your life down there. Where's my inheritance? You've got one and it's really small. For real, it's small. Why? Because you already had it. You already got yours. You made your life about you instead of making your life about me. So you had it and now you're here and you are welcome into the kingdom. But there is no rich inheritance stored up for you. You spent your life on yourself. Guys, there are people dying every second that are hearing those words from Jesus right now. Our culture is cheerleading. Live for yourself, sprinkle a little Jesus on it. Go to church. And the Lord is like, listen, I love you so much I am going to accept you into the kingdom if you love me and you believe me. You believe in me and you've repented of your sins and you do your best to obey. I will accept you into the kingdom. I'll be so happy you're here. But there is no rich inheritance for you. There are so many that are showing up that way because our culture's produced it. Don't be a byproduct of that culture. Pursue the inheritance that the Lord has for you. But you get it by the backwards, upside down kingdom thing. You lose your life. You can't have your life and everything in the next age that Jesus wants you to have. You just can't do it. You've got to lose your life for his sake. And I'll just tell you, some of you, you want to go on the journey of asking the Lord what that phrase means for you. I could say a bunch of stuff on a microphone. It won't do you near as much good as you having a dialogue with the Lord. Lord, what does it look like to lose my life for your sake? What do you say about that? What are you pointing out? What are you putting the finger on in my life related to my finances, my pursuits, my time, my investments, my hobbies? What are you saying about that? Because the Lord says, if you lose your life for Jesus, he will give you unbelievable inheritance. But if you live for yourself, you're going to lose out on all that. And remind you, if you live to 100, you lived for 1 minute. 100 is a minute. You're going to live for billions times trillions of years. It's unfathomable. You're going to live forever. Don't be one of the crazies upstairs that everybody looks at and is like, oh, you were one of those that lived for yourself, huh? Got it. How could you tell? I saw your house, bro. Also, the brightness on you is a little dim. It's kind of a dim glory. See that dude over there? No, I can't see him. Why? Because it looks like the sun. Why? Dude lived for Jesus. Where's his house? It's that whole mountain over there that you can't approach because of the glory. This is real stuff. We're gonna feel like such fools that we lived for this life. It's going to seem like the dumbest thing ever. And the wise ones are the ones that took Jesus at his words, lose your life for my sake, and you will find it. Don't do the American Christian thing. Live for Jesus. Live for Jesus. It's a reward. Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all of your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. I just want to get back to that storm concept. We were talking about is it fair weather? Is it tornado day? Well, for slaves, it's tornado day every day. And Paul is talking to slaves who had slave owners. And he says to slaves, he says, I understand you are in Tornado Alley. I understand your life is difficult. Don't serve your earthly master like that's the end of it. Serve like you're serving Jesus Christ, and Jesus will receive it like you're serving Jesus Christ. Some of y'all have evil bosses. They're just bad. They need to be slapped. Don't slap them. Let Jesus do all the slapping. No slapping in here. Pastor Brad told us we could go slap our... No, he didn't. That's not what happened here today. Some of you guys have got some really difficult neighbors. I know about some of those stories. Some of you guys have got some really difficult friends, relatives, family lives. I'm not saying you don't. I'm saying take this verse and put it into perspective. Instead of human masters, the other translations say owners, okay? Instead of the thought process of slavery and ownership, think employer to employee situation. Parents to kids situation, because your parents are crazy. Think about whatever the situation is, and instead of dealing with them like you're really dealing with them, serve them like you're serving Jesus, and Jesus will receive it like you're serving Jesus. Jesus is the kindest. There's no one else that would do that. Think about any of you and your relationships and be like, I'll tell you what, if you'll just be nice to your boss like you're being nice to me, I will reward you personally as though I were your boss. I'll like give you extra money and stuff. No one would do that. But Jesus does. He steps in and he says, I understand some of your pressures, your situations are very difficult. Treat it like you're serving me, and I will see it that way. And it says, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. Inheritance is a reward. A lot of it has to do. I'm not going to say it's 50%, but it's a bunch. It might be more than that even. I don't know the percentage, but a significant percentage of your inheritance is related to how you deal with mean people, bad situations, unfair policies. I can't think, this passage is pretty golden because I can't think of anything more fair for that dude than the fact that he's owned. It doesn't get much more unfair than that, in my opinion. This person is owned. They're a slave. And Paul says, I get it. I can't change that. I can't fix that situation. He said, but I can change your perspective. And I can tell you, if you'll maximize on the pain of that and instead serve Jesus, serve that evil dude, serve that bad, bad man like you're serving me, and you will receive a reward from me, an inheritance in the age to come. I am paying attention to how you respond. Do you eye roll? I just tell you what, friends, you want to give up eye roll. You're losing out every time. Eye roll isn't cute. You are losing out on inheritance every single eye roll. If you just kept your eyes, just stare straight eyes, straight eyes. If you'll just control your eyes, you won't lose inheritance. There is inheritance to be won by just not rolling your eyes. Some of y'all are laughing. You're probably eye rollers, aren't you? But if you're not an eye roller, how about a same thing. You lose when you okay. I'll do it. Hey, can you handle this? Yes. Golly, you're a mess. Is there a demon in there? You need deliverance? What was that? Sound like somebody wanted out. Listen, you can lose out. You can straight lose out with your And whatever other version, some of y'all need to learn how to control your face, because you can lose out on your face. If your face is communicating, I want to punch you, and your words with a crooked smile are saying something different, you could do better. See, there's so much about this. The Lord's actually looking for opportunity to reward us. Can you see it in this situation? Paul's talking to this slave, and he's like, listen, I want to give you a new way to live. He said, I want you to actually not pay attention to the fact that you are in a very oppressive situation. I don't want that to be the focus of your life. But he also says otherwise, in other places, he says, if you can gain your freedom, do it. But don't make your life about the fact that you're in this hard situation. Pick the situation. He says, instead, leverage it. Make that hard situation opportunity. Go get you some $10,000 checks. Take the opportunity. Serve Jesus. Go, I'm going to do this because it's right, because they're my boss, because they're my dad, because they're what I'm going to do. I'm going to do my best. Lord, help me. He says, I'm watching you, and you will receive an inheritance from me who's watching you as a reward, though no one else sees. The majority of your inheritance is going to be based off of stuff nobody was even around to thank you for. No one was around to care. No one knew. You held the line on truth in a way nobody even saw it. Again, you didn't eye roll. I mean, who's going to praise you for not eye rolling? Like, what? How often is that going to come up? I'm so proud of you that you didn't roll your eyes at me. Like, but you're going to get points for this stuff. Most of your inheritance is going to be based off of the little secret movements of your heart, little responses in your mind and heart, little prayers you prayed, little responses, little ways that you operated in self-control instead of operating in that other thing, the spirit of What do we stand to inherit? A lot. There's a lot. I just want to cover a few things that aren't land. We'll touch land in a minute. I just want to cover a few things that aren't land. You know, one of the things that that were promised to the priests in the initial covenant related to the priesthood is the priests were promised, you will get me, God, as an inheritance. It says, you're not going to get a land portion. You priests are going to get me. But then look what it says in Jeremiah 33:22. I will make the descendants of David my servant and the Levites who minister before me as countless as the stars in the sky and as measureless as the sand on the seashore. That goes well beyond Jewish people. This is now talking about the New Testament priesthood of believers. This is now talking about the reality of those that are going to join in because it's going to be as countless as the seashore. I mean, we're talking about an unbelievable number. In the New Testament, we're called priests. And the inheritance of the priesthood, it says, is the Lord. I like to think about this. The idea that part of my eternal inheritance is the Lord. That I get him as my inheritance, as my portion. I just want to encourage you. These are ideas, these ones I'm going to introduce. These are ideas you want to like process. You want to talk to the Lord about. You want to go, Lord, what does it mean for you to be the portion of the priests? What does it mean for you to be the inheritance? I want to understand that better. Part of what I'm doing in this part right now, I went from preaching and now I'm in teach mode. Part of what I'm doing right now is I'm trying to give you some Bible verses and some concepts to chew on. Because we've said enough, inheritance, 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 great. Now what do you do? How do you go further? How do you dig deeper? I'm trying to give you a few ways. Titus 3:7 says this, heirs of the hope. This is powerful. Having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs having the hope of eternal life. Now check this. This is talking about an inheritance, being heirs of eternal life related to hope. Think about what this does for you now in this age. Instead of thinking about the bad days, the economic crisis, all of the injustice in the land, instead of giving yourself to that, give yourself to the hope that you're an heir of eternal life. Heirs of hope. You are now, part of your inheritance that you get to experience in this life is hope. Listen, I can't help the fact that our world is nuts and it's going to get so much worse. We need to be a people who figure out how to overcome the it's a bad day around me, therefore I'm having a bad day. We need to grow up. We need to stop having bad days because the day was bad. Because there's only bad days coming. There's a lot of them. Also revival. Also a lot of good things, but a lot of bad things, a lot of pressures. We need to be a people that are bigger than our days, okay? Instead of giving so much credit and thought to the difficulties, why don't you stick your head up in the clouds and meditate on the eternal hope that you have? You have an inheritance of hope that you can tap into now. This is not my permanent reality. You know, if any of you have ever gone on a run and you just imagine finishing, like, oh, I want to die, especially if you ran yesterday. 105, bad idea. Any of you went running yesterday? You crazy, okay? But you're imagining the end in sight. You're just picturing that. You're not picturing the pain. You're not focusing on the pain. You're just imagining the end in sight. Keep the end in sight. The hope that we have in Jesus can get you through stuff. Stop meditating and focusing on all the pain and the problems. Heirs of everlasting joy, Isaiah 61. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in the land and everlasting joy will be theirs. Hard times. Picture everlasting joy. It's your future. Your future is not pain and problems forever. It's pain and problems for a minute, just as long as you live. It's just a minute. You'll be there. You'll be soon. You'll be fine. You got problems for a minute. Your inheritance is everlasting joy. That is the if you want to know what you're mostly about, you know, when you ask somebody, you know, at the end of their life, how was your life? They're not thinking about just the last 15 minutes. They're thinking about the total sum of their life. Okay, I want to ask you how your life is, but I want to ask future you 10,000 years into eternity. Okay, so you had 100 years here, probably not even that long, 100 years here, and then 10,000 years in eternity, I say, hey, how's your life been? Everlasting joy, like lots of it. Really? Do you even remember those light and momentary afflictions? Not so much. That we have got an inheritance of everlasting joy. I don't know about you, it's easier for me to keep going if I can know the future. If I can know what's coming. If I can be confident in what it is that will be the long-term, permanent, majority reality of my life, as opposed to the blip, the minute of difficulties that we face. Everlasting joy is part of your inheritance. I just put on here, inheriting eternal good living. That's what eternal life means. Matthew 19:29. Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. Mark 10 says similarly, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? I want to give us some perspective. I want to interpret this phrase, inheriting eternal good living. Eternal life, we've heard the term so many times, I think it goes right past us. I don't even think we're hearing it anymore. What about this? How many of you guys like good living? You like good living? I mean, we're talking like Magnolia Farms kind of deal, like good living, all right? The idea of inheriting eternal good living. It's not eternal existence. What must I do to inherit eternal existence? Everybody gets to exist eternally, either in heaven or no. Everyone will exist forever. We're not talking about eternal existence. We're talking about eternal good living, eternal good life, the good stuff. The most incredible, eternal good living. This is actually your inheritance. You know, my hope this morning was just to give a few tools. I got so many more notes I'm not even going to touch. My hope this morning was just to give us a little bit of perspective about this eternal inheritance thing. That we would get our focus off of the temporal. And we would start thinking about the eternal reality of a real life that's going to be really awesome to help us make sense of this life that sometimes is awesome and sometimes is just straight up awful. The Lord gave us so much information about this subject because he knew times would be tough. He knew you're going to go through hardship, you're going to have problems, you're going to have fights with your friends and issues at work and problems in your finances. None of that surprises him. He says, don't make your life about this temporal nonsense. Use the temporal nonsense as a springboard to increase your inheritance in the age to come. Can you just think about how indestructible you'd be if you actually lived this way? Bad news, you're like, I'm leaning into that. That sounds like an opportunity to get rich to me. People being mean, ooh, surround me by them. Give me one more. Opportunity to get rich. Oppression. Maybe don't oppress me more, but Lord, give me a right perspective in the midst of oppression. It's hard to pray for oppression. You know, nobody wants that. But you really can control your attitude and your response. I want to leave you with this. I want you to meditate on this and see if this rings true to you. I already said it, but I just want to end with it. It's going to seem so silly. We're going to feel so dumb to ourselves when we stand before him and everything is real and laid bare and is true and is right there before us, that we lived our lives for ourselves. It's going to seem like the dumbest thing we could have ever done. And there's going to be so many that is the case for them. Don't let it be true of you. Live your life different. Live for the eternal inheritance that is promised you. Go on the journey of setting your sights on things above, on the age to come. Live for eternity. Don't live for this life. I am grateful for every blessing that I have in my life. But if every one of those blessings goes away, that is not my life. That is not who I am. That is not my trajectory. That's not who I am to God. I'm a billionaire in heaven. That's who I am to God. Who are you to God? You're a billionaire in heaven. Now, walk that out and go make that billion. Just one decision at a time. Instead of having circumstances happen to you and now you're the victim, instead of that, respond to those circumstances with the fruit of the Spirit, with humility, with love, with forgiveness. Respond because the Lord says, because if you do, the Lord will give you an inheritance as your reward.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.